Good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations today. I'm Susie Prez, your host for today's conversation. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. Please note, Community Conversation presents recorded interviews via Zoom, and due to occasional internet glitches, sound quality can vary, so we thank you for your patience if we have any issues during the interview. We also want to thank Zoom for supporting Community Conversation and our efforts. Today, I present a recorded interview with Music Conservatory of Sandpoint Executive Director Karen Wiedemeyer and John Fitzgerald Music Director. And we're here to talk about the Music Conservatory. It has their Fall Serenade fundraiser coming up, and we want to hear all about that, and we want to talk about the organization's mission and how they are meeting the many challenges of COVID pandemic while still providing music and art education to our community. And we want to hear the good news, as Karen said earlier to me before the interview. So welcome, Karen Wiedemeyer and John Fitzgerald.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. And thanks for taking the time to bring our KRFY listeners up to date on how the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint is faring and what is on the horizon. I think it's always good to start with a brief historical overview, and we've done these kind of interviews many times, but we always have new listeners, so let's go with that, of what the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint is and how did it come to be such a vital educational organization in our North Idaho area. So just a little bit of background for the new listeners and a reminder for those that are current listeners.
Of course. So the Music Conservatory's mission, of course, is to provide excellent musical and performance training. We started the school 12 years ago with just a handful of students. We are at this point teaching close to 500 students a year, with over 200 students, private students, and then we have our early childhood music education program, our Music Matters Symphony, and we also are engaged in a partnership with LPOSD. So there's been a tremendous growth to state that. The really wonderful news as far as the development is we've become an accredited school of performing arts by WASC, which is very significant. That was a true achievement. What I feel I'm personally very proud of also is that we were able, in partnership with the foundation and Columbia Bank, to acquire our building, which I will talk later about. You know, our 110 Main Street building is very significant in our future. So these were some of the milestones that we have conquered that are right now truly helping us also, you know, in 2020.
Okay, well, you talked a little bit about the accreditation with WASC. What is WASC? Mm-hmm.
Washington Associations of Schools and Colleges. Mm-hmm. And it is significant in as far as, well, for one thing, is there's another entity looking over our shoulders to looking at our curriculum and the quality of our instructions and our staff, of course. So also students can take classes here to, we have an articulation agreement with other schools, and especially high school students can take classes here and receive credit for it.
Oh, that's excellent. And John, so you're the music director. Does that mean you're intricately involved in the program schedule, all the different programs that are being offered? What is your job there?
Most of them. I oversee some of the larger picture musical aspects of the school. I also was involved with the WASC accreditation, re-accreditation. That happened, was it 2 years ago already, Karin?
Well, the renewal was 2 years ago,
and
we had a six-year term. So originally, we got accredited 7 years ago.
So I was involved with the reaccreditation process, which was a little stressful, but it's putting to paper all the things that we do anyway, and just validates everything that we do. And that was a bigger project. And we did get, I think, the highest level of reaccreditation that we could get, which was nice. Then we don't have to worry about it for a while. I currently run all the orchestras. So I had the orchestral program. And we can talk a little bit about that later. But we did have an orchestral program this fall. And we did a lot of, micro groups and social distancing. We did everything that we could to make sure everyone stood safe. I also teach the music theory classes at the school. I think I'm in almost every department, so I kind of have my hand in many different places just to see if there's anything that they need or if there's any way that I could help each department.
I think what's interesting about the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint is it's not just music, it's performing. So I know that Keely Gray, because KRFY has been hosting some of her student, I don't even know exactly what they are, but they've been really fun. They've done some things specifically for radio. So let's just go over briefly, since we have listeners' ears right now, what the big picture looks like when you say the programs that are being offered to 500 to 200 students, private students, and bigger groups. What are the program offerings? It may be too much to even talk about, but let's hear, see if we can talk about it.
I can talk about it a little bit, and then I'll hand the microphone over to John, right? So we have, right now, we've had an unprecedented growth in enrollment. Last year, over 30% in private students, but also in our early childhood music department. So, we have, I think, over 210 private students right now. Then we have close to 80 or 90 students in the early childhood music department. And it looks, of course, different this year just because we have micro classes. So we have many more classes with small groups. And then we still are active right now with LPOSD and our other outreach programs where we are, our staff is teaching. And of course, with adaptations, and this is again, talking about how we met some of the challenges of 2020. For example, at LPOSD, we're not teaching choir, but we're teaching chimes. And that's introducing a new instrument to the public. And the kids really didn't know anything about chimes, but they were, once they got to know them, were super excited. And it's a safe instrument. You can be a social distance, you can do all the things. With it, plus it's exposure to something new and exciting. So
I'm just thinking when you say chimes, I'm thinking it does tone the ear. Anyways, so the it's fun. It's probably really fun for the kids to learn something new, but it does have an aspect of toning the listening ear, which is educational and developmental.
For sure. And from Janice Wall, who oversees the Music Matters Symphony, is working with this LPOSD school district. We are in the Title I schools. For her, it was actually first, she says, well, I don't know, will I, stir up any interest? And now I attended the class and I saw the kids and they were very excited. So, and that's just really fun for me to see, how we can help being innovative and help children explore different ways, but also how to let children know it's not the end, right? It's just we're shifting, we're adapting, and that's an important message for everyone to know, and we can talk about this more differently. But so, yeah, to the strengths of enrollment, that was really huge, and it continues to be that way. And we have put in a lot of adaptations. John, if you want to talk a little bit more about, our micro grouping and our session layout.
So what we did this year is we started a little bit later because the start of the school year is hard when there's nothing happening, let alone when many things are happening. So we started a little bit later. We kept all of our groups at around six or so people, very far apart. We tried to limit how long they were in the same room together slightly, because if you look at some of the bigger music schools, they have this half an hour or 45 minute window of rehearsing. So we would usually rehearse for half an hour, and then we would either go somewhere else for a sectional where it could be far apart or to do something. But you know, we had basically two groups this fall. We had a chamber orchestra and we had a beginner orchestra, and we had some, and it was really a lot of fun. We had a whole bunch of beginner violins that one of our section leaders worked with, and then we all made some music together at the very end of our Tuesday class, in the biggest room we had. And we had a kind of a second level chamber group. And I've always loved teaching orchestra, but this year, the way it was set up, that everyone was, because it was a small group, you can't hide as much in a small group, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing. And I noticed that a lot of the students really took a little bit more ownership of practicing and their music. And for one of the first times, since it was a small group, not only were we practicing certain music for various things, but we were able to just read through a lot of, you know, music for the spring that we wanted to do. And whenever you have a big open orchestra, it's always a little bit of a challenge. You have your new folks, you have your advanced folks, and to kind of corral everyone so everyone moves together is always exciting. But with this fall, it was really quite fun, because that advanced group were able to just read through and experiment and work on orchestral techniques and explore a whole bunch of different rep.
You know, from what you're describing, I just want our listeners to know that I'm speaking with the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint Executive Director Karen Wiedemeyer and John Fitzgerald Music Director. And we're finding out about how, and it sounds like what you're saying is that some of the innovations have been surprising gifts. Learning in a different way is always a good thing, and being an innovation might kind of invigorate the whole program in a different sort of way. And so, good job, you guys. I know it's a challenge. You can only imagine where the challenges are in classrooms, and the Music Conservatory is an educational entity. So you have met that challenge and are thriving in so many ways. And Karen? Yes.
One of our really big assets is where we were really able to keep our students safe, because the school has been healthy all the way to the completion of session one, which was right before Thanksgiving. The school is huge. We have an incredible amount of space. It's really easy for us to separate, right, and to keep the traffic within the school at a minimum. And because of that, we were able to do things that maybe are not possible otherwise, because we can create so much distance. Yeah. And that worked out really very well overall. And that the building is just a ginormous asset for us to have continued all the way through all challenges.
I remember when you finally signed the paperwork for it, and how excited you were, because you saw the potential for the future to be really able to put your feet on the ground as an educational organization in our community, without thinking, where are we going to be next year? You know where you are. You found your home. And John. Yes.
Yeah, and I've looked back on other places that I've taught, and you know, the building, it might be a slightly quirky building, but it is just a really wonderful spot to teach. Not only is it, you know, located right in downtown, but I'm thinking back on other places that I've taught, you know, over the years, and how they would have adapted to our, you know, our current situation, and how lucky the conservatory is and how much they can give because of how it's set up right now. It's really quite special.
And I know one organization alone doesn't make it happen. I'm sure that a lot came together to make that signing of those papers happen for the conservatory. There's a lot of support for what you're doing. And I think the biggest reason is the vision that you've had all along, sticking to the mission, but also the people involved. And the product, I guess you want to call it a product, but the experience that you're offering children in our community. That's pretty special, you guys. I hope you know that. I think you do.
Thank you. Thank you. We do, because if we look at our partnerships, you know, those who are involved. Just to name a few, the people that I would want to thank you to make this happen all the way. It's like the 101 Women, Cal, Columbia Bank, Confidence Foundation, Evergreen Realty, Equinox Foundation, Cochava, LPOSD, KFY, POAC, Washington Trust, and the list goes on. And I can't capture everything but if you go on our website, sandpointconservatory.org, you're going to see just this huge amount of partnerships and friendships that are vital, because the school stands on three legs, right? As far as, aside from its earned income, it has these partnerships and foundations and legacy givings secure the financial future, helped us through these 2020, and also just gave us an incredible financial backbone for scholarships, and that has come through legacy giving.
That sounds fantastic. And again, just so much gratitude. That is so much of the good news. And we have some more good news, because you have something coming up. Let's get to that so we don't run out of time and not hear about it. But we're collaborating with you to bring something special to the 88.5 KRFY airwaves on Sunday night, coming up on the 13th at 6 p.m. Go for it. Tell us all about it.
So John, do you want to mention a little bit about the musical selection, because I know that's kind of what on your plate right now, all the performers?
And it's called, by the way, The Fall Serenade, and you've done this at the Panada in live, and this year we're doing it over the airwaves. So The Fall Serenade this year.
What do you get to hear?
You get to hear all kinds of things. One of the real strengths of the conservatory is that we really do have a well-rounded staff, and you don't always see that at music schools. We have a wonderful string department, a woodwind department, a piano department, and a voice department, which is, it's really quite fabulous. So there are some string ensembles. There is Vox Air on a G string is one of the big fancy ones that the string department got together and recorded. We have some Mozart works for viola, violin, and piano. We have some flute ensembles. Karin Wiedermeyer and the executive, the voice head of department, Brenda Rutledge, did a duet, a Rossini duet, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I sang something from Vaughan Williams' Songs of Travel, and it's a pretty eclectic mix, which is nice. I love going to voice recitals or piano recitals, but when you go to, a fundraiser concert like this that shows off the flexibility of all the staff, we have a great offering. So it should be a wonderful concert, so that everyone should listen.
Hopefully. So the fun part about this fundraiser is that you can go to our website, and we've created a kind of different way. It's an invitation to play or invitation to compose. So you can give by buying a note or a musical notation or a staff or, a different part from $25 onwards. And then all that we collect, like if somebody buys five notes, somebody buys a staff, you can do this online. And then we're going to use all of that to do a symphony. We're going to compose. So this composition is that March Cook is going to do with all the things that have been hopefully purchased. We're going to continue to create a community symphony here, because everybody will own a part, a note or a treble clef or a pianissimo or a fermata. So going on our website, sandpointconservatory.org, you can, you can of course listen to our concert, which would be wonderful, and then decide if you wanted to make a contribution. And help us compose a beautiful piece of music that we will collectively own. And we'll probably keep that going for the whole year.
You can call it the Ode to Generous Sandpoint.
Or yes.
Like that. What a unique and creative way to continue the fundraising and to offer something beautiful by offering this concert that, John, I know you did a lot of editing to put together. And it sounds wonderful. I just want to back up. Karin, you and Brenda Rutledge are going to be singing something from Puccini?
From Rossini.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was not sure what that was.
Yeah. And we're going to do a duet. Mm-hmm.
And so that is going to, again, it's called Your Fall Serenade. I know that people really look forward to the Fall Serenade by the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint each fall. It's usually at the Panada. It's a kind of a gala event in some way with all of the talented staff from the Music Conservatory performing. And this year, luckily, we have a community radio station, and we're going to get to hear
yes.
it on the station. So we need to get all those people that are listening to this and all of your background people, all of your supporters, to tune in to 88.5 KRFY. Again, that's community radio. On Sunday night, December 13th at 6 p.m. to hear this fantastic performance, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think you should actually record it and maybe sell CDs of it, John. What do you think?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It could be something we do in the future.
You could do. But to hear it live on the radio, not live on the radio, podcast on the radio, that again is Sunday night, December 13th, coming right up at 6 p.m. on 88.5 FM. So we're looking forward to hosting that for you. We have a few more minutes. We're so pleased to be able to air this. Also, just so people know, you can stream it on our website at krfy.org. And I think when we're all done, you can put it on your website as a podcast. If people didn't get to listen, they can tune in or go to your website. And we'll probably put it on our website too. But so how will people, again, you said go to, they don't have to go to the website during the concert, though. They can go to your website, sandpointconservatory.org, and start buying those notes and staffs and whatever else you call them, measures, yes. and help create the Sandpoint's very own Ode to Generosity. You can
yes.
use that title if you want, by the way.
That's yes, I'm paying attention. I will. I have more good news, if I may. Is that time for me to share? So we were also really lucky. We bought out of the estate. It was offered to us, actually, from Bud Smith, who very sadly passed away in March. We have his... The family wanted his piano, which is a Bösendorfer, which is an incredibly wonderful instrument. It is at the conservatory. The family approached us and they wanted it to be here. So we are very fortunate to have a true concert piano of the highest quality here, which is really fantastic. We received the first step of funding for our phase one renovation to open our doors, that means our fire doors. And it's especially exciting as we are, you know, hoping to accelerate more, that when we open the doors that we have this incredible instrument there for like an intimate setting of some events that we can then also record. So we're also working on creating that opportunity that we can then share, for example, with you. You know, that we have these concerts right here on site on the Bösendorfer. We have created an instrument library, and I'm foreseeing, and there is nothing like this in the world, so we actually really can claim this. An instrument library, I want it to function just like a library. Students can come, check out an instrument, and return it, you know, when they're done. So that is for orchestral instruments right now, but we also actually have two pianos in the community that we are maintaining to have absolute accessibility. So it's really important that the community has access to these instruments, and they're always tuned and they're quality instruments. So we pay a lot of attention to quality. So anybody who wants to donate a good instrument, please do find us, because we have our own technician and we'll make sure that they become available. We also created the Instrument Art Factory. And for those who are walking by the conservatory, you have seen those pianos. They were a wonderful fun under the loving care of Kelly Price and Peter Gutzinger. This summer, some of our students painted those pianos. There is no heaven for pianos. So we took them outside. They got a makeover, and they're absolutely wonderful. So they are public art, but they function quite well. And we're going to add in a library of music that is being built right now. We are using a recycled stage that's going to turn into a little library where students or anybody can take out any kind of sheet music that's available. We have a lot of donations that we make available. So you can come and grab some sheet music, you can play. And that is just going to be a lot of fun. So it's called Instrument Art Factory. So, and then the other thing I want to announce is, yes, I need to wrap up. Okay, Karen Reiner Zoomed, I think for the first time in her life. So cheers to Karen Reiner. And those are our highlights. And we've had, with innovation and adaptation, we created as much resilience as possible.
You know, there's so much going on. I just want to say we are running out of time on this little Zoom call, but you never run out of ideas, Karen. So, and John, thanks for all you do. And just a reminder again, the Fall Serenade will be broadcast on 88.5 FM, that's KRFY, this Sunday, December 13th at 6 p.m. So tune in, folks, and also go to sandpointconservatory.org. And this is a fundraiser for the conservatory. So there's all kinds of ways that you can get involved and help bring fundraising to this important educational organization. I want to thank you both for joining me today. We'll do this again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks for listening. That's about it, folks. And thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Community and listener-supported radio for North Idaho and beyond. We're streaming on the web at krfy.org. And you can go and hear the podcast of this interview at any time again at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, the North Idaho area and our county is in a critical COVID-19 pandemic red stage at this time, stage two. Remember to follow the Panhandle Health District, Idaho State, and federal government CDC guidelines. Please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses. Keep a 6 to 10 foot distance, wash up, stay home as much as possible. Stay home if you are sick. Do not gather in large groups indoors. It's really pretty simple, and we can get through this together. Be a good neighbor and friend and protect each other. And again, please wear a mask. Stay safe, and thank you. And thanks for listening. Please enjoy Otto's eclectic mix all day long. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.